in the on my level believe boy, let's go here at the Malbum, Lamatseach LeDavid, Mizmor Zeh, this Mizmor, we mentioned this idea before, Mizmor Zeh Hu Chuchbal B'Sefer Zeh in Simen Nun Gimel, in Ktsashinu. This Boretzli, Sheb Mizmor Zeh Amor David Al Neis Shenas Lechenitzel Mi Oyev Shehera Vehitzar Li Yisrael. He learns not like what we learned in Rashi and the Mitzudas. Again, Rashi and the Mitzudas understood this to mean, understood that this Mizmor was said regarding the Nebuchadnezzar. Let me just put over here this on. There's some noise over here in the background. Okay. According to Rashi and the Mitzudas says that the repetition of this Mizmor here and in Mizmor Nun Gimel are describing different. What's that noise? Is that? Oh, wait, I'm on mute now. Sorry. Okay. Now it should be okay. Rashi over here says, Rashi learned that this Mizmor and Mizmor Nun Gimel are referring over to two different events. One is referring to Nebuchadnezzar as a prophecy. Obviously, David lived way before Nebuchadnezzar. He lived about 400, almost 500 years before Nebuchadnezzar. And the second Mizmor Nun Gimel was in reference to Titus. Okay, the Mitzvah stuff does not say that. The Mitzvah stuff, it says that this was private. This enemy, Omar Novel Beliboy, is a private enemy. Again, no one said that it refers to Novel, the person, the husband of Avigail, that cursed David. No one wants to say that. But here, in Mizmor Zeh Chuchbal B'Sefer Zeh, in Ketzashinu, in his words, Mizmor Zeh Amoroi David Al Neis, there was a person, there was an enemy who caused pain and tsar to the Jewish people, and that's it. Who was this mysterious enemy? We have no idea. We have no idea who this person was. This story is lost from history. We lost the details. When his descendant, Chizkiah, according to some of the Mepharshim, was David's last living descendant. Okay, that was the complaint that Yeshaya had against Chizkiah, that if Chizkiah, you do not get married and have children, then the malchus of David would come to an end. And that's why Chizkiah said, Yeshaya said to Chizkiah, you must marry, you must have a children, and do not be concerned about. You know, you see in the stars, you see the Ruach HaKodesh is going to be a Rosh, that's not your business. You have to have a child. So it's interesting over here that Chizki over here is the Mizmor Nun Gimel. V'chasher bonei Sancheriv, bimei Chizkiah, when Sancheriv laid siege to Yerushalayim after he successfully exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, and the last holdout was Yerushalayim, and miraculously in the Lil Pesach, all of his men, they died, they just died suddenly. So when that miracle happened, Rosh Mizmor Zeh Toiv L'Hoydos Boi Gam Al Nei Zeh V'Siknuhu Im Hoysofo Kitzos, with some small additions, V'Yachasuhu Andei L'David Kihu Tiknoi. And it was related to David, because David really wrote it. U'V'Zendovoi El Habeyar. So again, he's saying over here something very interesting, that Chizkiah composed Mizmor Nun Gimel, but because David really wrote the template of the Mizmor, and Chizkiah just made some minor changes, it was related to David. Is that what he's saying, or is he saying over here the other way around? I'm looking at which one is said about Chizkiah, which one is said about a private person. A little bit confusing. Let's read it further. V'yachzir David kivu akihu tiknoi v'zeh navei el ha-be'ur. Omar Novel Beliboy Ein Elokim. Okay, we go further in the next page. The novel says in his heart there is no Elokim. Shamelech Shabo Olav Hichish Mitzias Hashem, this king, which came upon him, referring over here to Sanheriv, I guess. Hichish, he denied Mitzias Hashem, Kumoy Shagam Sanheriv Kichesh Bahashem, just like Sanheriv denied Hashem. V'sholach legadeif Elokim chayim. V'gam ishkisu v'yisivu alila shekol chelei kulam hishkisu ma'aseihem. All the entire army hishkisu ma'aseihem. They acted corruptly. La'asoyis ro'ois v'soyevois. Ad she'ein oisei tov. Over here it's going on the entire army. Just like Rashi learned that there's no one in the army of Nebuchadnezzar that was willing to step up and protest against his behavior. The same thing was true with regard to Sancheriv. There was no one amongst his people that stood up to Sancheriv. Ad she'ein oisei tov. Afilu tov nimusi chesed erachamim. Even the Geneva Conventions. Okay, it says very interesting. They had no. In war, there are rules of war. Even in war itself, there are certain modes of behavior that is expected of a human being. And it's a very bizarre concept, the Geneva Conventions. There are certain rules of war. If the world wants to engage in war, okay, there's an international body, which I don't know what this international body is all about, how exactly all this works, but we all are familiar with this principle, is that when there's war, okay, the world will acknowledge war, but there are certain rules that you have to play by. Okay, that's a very interesting concept in and of itself. And here, the Mitzuda, the Malbim, is ahead of his time, and he says, he reads over here, he says an incredible chiddush, what it means, when they engage in war, they violate the rules of war. Afilu toiv nimusi chesed orachamim, even a conduct, an act of behavior that is of kindness, orachamim, even that they did not. Gesundheit. V'chasher nimsa v'neim ishech ha'shayim nirei shemam v'hashem v'nois me'kab, k'mo shoy b'machim v'sanchedev, sh'om v'chazal, sh'mivchanetza nosan kab v'hashem, v'rotz achar ha'shliach sh'sholach m'roidach ba'al adon, שהיתם שמו של החיסקין, שמו של חיסקין, שמו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, ובעבור זה נשאר ממחנה סנחריב, קחו ואויר עשור אנשים עמו, כמו יש אמר חז"ל, בעל תוימו שאלה יש לכם זכוס, don't say they have a זכוס, על זה אומר, he goes on to say, they also have no זכוס. What's the thing over here? The thing over here, a lot of things which are a little bit confusing. Now, it seems like he's saying over here that this mizmor was originally said regarding a private war. David wrote this regarding a private war, and here in Mizmor Yudalid, it was adapted to reflect upon the milchama of Sancheriv. Now, if that's the case, it was said about Sancheriv, that the opening line doesn't make any sense. Because the opening line of this mizmor is Lamatzech le David. Okay, in other words, the Malbim appears to be saying that Mizmor Yudalid was composed or was written the way we have in front of us after or during the time of the Milchama, the siege of Sancheriv on Yerushalayim, when Chizkiah was the king. Now, if that is correct, why then does it say Lamatzech le David? David's dead. David's long gone. David died 400 years before Sancheriv showed up to besiege Yerushalayim. So what are you telling me that this Nizmar, you're telling me that the time frame is not 400 years, about 300 years, I'm sorry, not 400, is in the middle of the Bayis Rishon. David's not around. So what are you saying over here, Lamatzech li David? So the answer he says is, you're right. David, he had this in the museum. David, he composed a mizmor that was very similar.
It fits to every generation.
Right. And they took it,
Sdom.
Right?
It fits to Sdom and Briat HaOlam before Noach. And it fits to under the Nazis.
That's why it's time. That's why we have it for all generations. That's why it's preserved.
Same thing.
But he's saying, what was the original composition? The original composition was they took something that David wrote about a private battle, and it seems what he's saying is that's really what it says in Mizmor Nun Gimel. If I'm reading it correctly, we'll read the Gimel in a few moments. What in Mizmor Nun Gimel is where David wrote a Mizmor about a private issue he had with an enemy, or maybe it was the enemy was against the Jewish people, and David wrote the Mizmor Nun Gimel. Now, 300 years later, whatever it was, along comes Sancheriv. He lays siege to Yerushalayim. The Jewish people are in a state of distress. They turn to Tehillim. and they find a mizmor that David wrote about some guy no one even heard of. And they, oh, this nusach is the perfect nusach which captures the event, what we're dealing with Sancheiv. So they took what it says in Mizmor Nun Gimel, and which was a private battle, from the private collection in Sotheby's, the private collection of David HaMelech, of what he composed. Oh, look at this Mizmor, it's perfect for what we're going through. They took it and they adapted it. They made a couple of changes, added a few words here, a few words there, and it was written as a tefillah against, to help them against the situation of dealing with Sancheiriv. And because it was rooted in what David said, they kept David's name on it. Lamatzeach leDavid, we're referring to Chizkiyahu, and we're saying now exactly what David said, even though David's not been alive for 300 years. Now that itself is a very powerful lesson. What I'm saying here, if I'm reading this correctly, we're reading it all the time. Well, the Malbim is very bold. The Malbim always goes where no man has gone before. And he's basically disagreeing totally with Rashi and the Mitzudos in the order. Because according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, this Mizmor was said about Nebuchadnezzar. And then the Mizmor Nun Gimel, which is repetition, was said about Titus. Was said 400, so the order is first, let's follow the timeline of history. Mizmor Yudalid is a prophecy of what's going to be with Nebuchadnezzar. And then Mizmor Nun Gimel, which is extremely similar, is going to be a prophecy of what's going to happen with Titus HaRasha at the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Malbim says just the opposite. What it says later on in Mizmor Nun Gimel was something which already happened recently, a recent event which occurred. And what it says here in Mizmor Yudalid is a later event. And the reason why we're giving more prominence to Mizmor Yudalid by putting it first is because this was something which affected Klal Yisrael. This was a seminal moment in Jewish history of the existential threat the Jewish people faced from Sancheiriv. And what they are going to say now was really extracted from what it says later in the collection of the Mizmarim and Mizmar Nun Gimel, which was now adapted to reflect upon the Sancheiriv. Let's read these words one more time at the beginning of the Mizmar, page 108. 108, Lamatzeach David Mizmar Zeh Huchbal B'Sefer Zeh. This Mizmar is repeated. Im Kitzah Shinut, V'Hizbor Etzli. It is clear to me. She Mizmar Zeh.
What are you reading now?
I'm reading again the Malbim. Page 108, on page 108. 108, Pasuk Aleph. Now, it's not clear what he means to say. It says this is repeated. He doesn't really explain why it's repeated. I'm trying to read into what he's saying. Pasuk Aleph towards the bottom of the page. Page 108, toward Pasuk Aleph, Lamatzeach leDavid, right above where it says the Mitzudas David, that last paragraph. V'Hizboretz l'Shemizmo ze Amoroi David, al Neis, originally, this Mizmo was said, regarding a miracle, shenaseloi, private miracle, shenitzol me'oyev, he was spared from an enemy, shehera, who caused pain, vehitzar liYisrael. Who is this enemy? What exactly is the story? We have no idea. The Malmo here is saying there was a private story which has been lost from history. There is no movie, there is no novel, there is no book that's going to tell you exactly what happened. If I'm not mistaken, he's saying that's what it says in Mizmor Nun Gimel. It's a record. David HaMelech dealt with an enemy. We don't even know what happened. And that's his words, the way he wrote, the way he said it was presented later in his private collection of Mizmor Nun Gimel.
Begins the same way.
What?
Begins the same way, Nun Gimel.
Right. Almost the whole Mizmor begins. The Mizmor is very, very, very similar. V'chasher b'nei Sancheiriv. Oh, now let's fast forward. After David dies, David's last living descendant is Chizkiyah, and Sancheiriv comes to attack, and he comes b'nei Chizkiyah, Rosh Mizmor Zeh, and they were dealing with a very difficult situation. It needed to be mispalel. They saw, they made an observation that this Mizmor, Toiv lehoidois boi gam al neizeh. It's the perfect Mizmor to recite, to reflect upon the miracle of what happened with Sancheiriv. V'tiknu, the people living in that time, they fixed it up, they polished it up. Im hoisafa kitzos, v'yichasuhu leDavid, and they did not take his name off it. But since the template of what they're saying now is what David HaMelech himself said. They did not change. They kept his. They gave him credit, and they remained with the word Lamatzech LeDavid. Ki hu tiknoi. That's what it seems that it's saying over here. And then he comes over here to explain that who is the novel? The novel is Sancheriv. And Sancheriv is a non-believer. And amongst his army, there are no good men. Ach Enos, I'm jumping down now on the next page 110. Ach Enos Etoiv. I'm jumping down four lines. Afilu Toiv Nirusi Chesed Oirachanin. There was no conduct, there was no derech eretz. There's certain norms people have in society. You say good morning, you say good evening, there's a certain derech eretz. When you walk out of the building, you close the door. There's certain basic modes of behavior, of decency. Even that, then, they were barbarians. Sorry?
Robert's Rules of Order.
I never heard of that. No, I never heard of that. Nothing. Okay. So this is a very interesting approach. Interesting approach to understand how he's learning Shah on the Pasik. Not like Rashi and the Mitsudos that says that he refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Who's the novel? Who is the novel? So we have already four people. Who is the novel? We suggest that it was novel, the husband of Avigail. We wanted to say that, but no one says that. And then we have novel. We're learning now that there was a novel in the life of David HaMelech. There was a Meshugana who caused Tsar to Klal Yisrael. Then we learn what it says in the Mitzudos, in Rashi. It's Nebuchadnezzar. And what it says later on in Mizmor Gimel, it's Titos. And now the Malbim says...
Why were they novel? Why was Sancheriv a novel?
Why was Sancheriv a novel?
Because they said
Ein Elokim. Yeah. It's Mechadif and Megadif. Ain't Elohim, that's what a novel is. Someone says there's no, he denied the mitzius. The mitzius of Hashem. So we have many candidates to define who was the novel. Sancheriv, Nebuchadnezzar, Titos, novel, the husband of Avigail, and Stam. It was a person, an anonymous person by the name of Novel. Who is this person? We do not know who this person was. Yishbi Binoiv.
Up in the air and was always suspended up there.
Right.
Noiv, novel.
Interesting. You want to say, okay, I hear. You're saying good. You got to go check more further into this. You're saying very good. Okay, let's go over here. Let's go over here. Just Ibn Ezra. Look at Ibn Ezra.
According to the parents, yeah. So he's talking about the general thing. If you read the text, he's talking not about one person.
Well, that's always like that. I mean,
Hitler didn't have Nabal.
Well, that's why it's preserved.
And all the Germans were followed.
Well, obviously, that's why Tehillim is preserved for all generations because it's timely. Whatever it says, Yapi Ruach HaKodesh can be referring to our generation as well, of course. Right. But al derech pshat, when this that's the secondary. There's always a pshat. When did David compose this mizmah in reference to what? It's only in reference to Yom HaMashiach. We do that sometimes. We do that sometimes. It's only for the future. Yeah. But generally, we try to get to put things in perspective. David composed this. It was written out derech pshat for what was happening in his lifetime or some other event. And then we then extrapolate the being that this is it's obviously talking to us as well. So, but in general, what was the pshat? And this mahalach of the Malm is very, very fascinating because when you go back to the Midrashim. Who composed Sefer Tehillim? So we learned actually in the beginning that Tehillim was composed. Ten people. There are ten different people that are mentioned in Tehillim. Over here, the Malm is telling us no. This Mizmor was composed by the generation of Chizkiyahu. Okay, it doesn't say who did it. It doesn't say who edited it. There were people, Talmidei Chachamim, living in the generation of Chizkiyahu. Maybe it was Chizkiyahu himself. Maybe it was Yeshaya. Maybe it was Shaor Yashuv, his son. Okay, there were people living in the generation of Chizkiyahu, which took Mizmor Nun Gimel. I'm assuming that Mizmor Nun Gimel is what David himself wrote. I'm assuming that's what he means here. And they took Mizmor Nun Gimel and they manipulated it. They changed a few words and they presented it, and it became part of Sefer Tehillim. So it turns out that Sefer Tehillim, every single Mizmar, I mean, who put the final stamp on Sefer Tehillim? We have in our calculation 150 Mizmarim. And Chazal said it's really 147. I mean, at what point in time did it have its chasima? Who was the one that decided to take the Mizmar of David, of Adam? I mean, we have, there are 10 people, there are 10 names of Mizmarim, and the vast majority is David. But look at this. This was not written by David. It says David because they gave him credit, because it's his template, it's his essence, but the editor who actually changed the words from Elohim, from Hashem to Elohim, was a person living in the generation of Chizkiyo HaMelech. That totally gives you a different flavor of who composed Sefer Tehillim. Who composed this book? Who put it there? Who was the final editor? Who are the people who actually composed each individual Mizmah? Nothing is so simple. According to Rashi, according to the Mitzudos, David wrote this. David had a prophecy, Ruach HaKodesh, this is Nebuchadnezzar, this is Titus. And David wrote it, don't tamper. Don't tamper with what he wrote. Along comes the Malbim, oh, no such thing. David wrote Mizmor Nun Gimel, and as someone who lived in the generation 300 years later, he went and he patched it with what David wrote, and he gave him credit, because it was written, the Klal Yisrael said this after the miracle of Sancheiriv. It's a whole new appreciation of who exactly put together Sefer Tehillim. Okay, let's take a look at some quick things over here I marked down. Let's go over here at the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, Pasuk Aleph. Ibn Ezra is always very, very hard to understand Ibn Ezra. And here, Pasuk of Omar Novel, Paper Chochav. Okay, this I find to be very interesting. The word Novel is the opposite of a Chochav. Okay, go to the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, the Arba Bon. Who are the Arba Bonim? Echad Chocham, Echad Rasha, Echad She'etam, the Echad She'eino Yodea Lisho. Who exactly made up these people, these four people, this collection, this collection of people who come to the Seder? There are a lot of people who can come to the Seder. How come there's no Tipish? The Rambam talks about the Tipish. The Rambam doesn't talk about, I forgot exactly the Rambam's Arba Bonim, but the Rambam says that one of the Arba Bonim is a Tipish. How come we don't have a Tipish? Is the She'eino Yodea Lisho a Tipish? We don't call him a Tipish. Is the Talmud, we don't, I have to go see exactly how the Rambam, how he talks about the Arba Bonim, but one of them is the Tipish. And we have, where's the Tzaddik? What happened to the Tzaddik? No Tzaddik. What about, there are all different types of people you can label. Go to a yeshiva and talk to a rebbeim. It'll give you a lot of labels to describe. This is the ADD child. The attention deficit disorder child. This is a child that's suffering from depression, Rahman al-Islam. Okay, and like and you know, there's a big debate. I was actually the Shpir Shabbos. I was listening to a Rebbe talking about giving kids Ritalin or different medications. A lot of medications. A whole collection of medications today for attention deficit disorder. And there's even discussion of giving marijuana, small dosages of marijuana. Okay, there's a big debate going on in the whole world of education, not just only in the yeshiva world. The benefits and the disadvantages of giving medication to children, what it does to their minds. So here you have a fascinating Ibn Ezra. It opens up a whole new world, and he says that the novel is the Hepech Chacham. We would think that the Rasha is the Hepech of the Chacham. What? Oh, is a tipish, right? So exactly. So what is a chacham? Really, if you think about it, what is a chacham? What exactly is a chacham? A chacham, we take talmidei chachamim. We call when we talk about the rabbis in Chazal, we use the word chacham, and it's not far fetched to say that a chacham. You could make a very good argument that a chacham is a tzaddik, because a person who is wise comes to the realization that it's in his best interest to be righteous. Chochmah, wisdom, true wisdom, you can argue, you can make this argument. What? So what else is there? What other chochmah? We're discussing
if
Reish is chochmah, Yiras Hashem. So Yiras Hashem, isn't that righteousness? So you're going to say, no, when it says Nahagot, the Chacham comes to the Seder, it means the intellectual. Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein's Chachma did not lead him to live a life of observance. He wasn't Shomer Shabbos. He knew about Shabbos. We know as a fact that when he was 11, he came from a family that wasn't very observant. When he was 11 years old, he became obsessed with religion. Albert Einstein. And he was Shomer Shabbos. Honestly, he was Shomer Shabbos for about a year. Albert Einstein, when he was a child, about 11 years old, became obsessed, and he was Shomer Shabbos for about a year, from when he was about between 11 and 12 years old. And then something happened, and he went off the derech. He went back. He didn't have money. You can't blame him. He didn't have a family that supported. I mean, it's a shock. He's such a little child. All of a sudden, he wants to be Shomer Shabbos. He wants to be kosher. He wants to do the mitzvahs. Who exactly were his role models? Who influenced him? I don't know. No one. There's a little bit of nothing we know. We know that he was definitely observant for a short time as a child between 11 and 12 years old. So he rose to become what he recognized in the world as from the greatest chachamim in the world. But that chachma did not lead him. He knew about Shabbos, he understood. It did not lead him to pursue a study on Judaism to become an observant Jew. So there are many chachamim. But is chachma synonymous with righteousness? You could argue yes and no. If you will make that argument, Chochmah is, in the eyes of Chazal, the term is associated with righteousness, then what would be the other end of the spectrum? A Rasha. Wouldn't that make sense? So when we read the Haggadah, Echad Chochmah, Yechad Rasha, it's not so far-fetched. It's not, you can't say anyone is wrong to say that these are the spectrum. This is the Chochmah. We call them we'll substitute Tzaddik, because the Chochmah leads to righteousness. And then there's the Rasha. And then we have the Tan and the She'en Yedi Lishol. I don't know, somehow you have to fit them in exactly what they are. Over here he comes looking at something very, very fascinating. Amar novel, Hepech Chacham, it is the opposite of a Chacham, Ba'avur She'yidame She'en Elokim. Ba'avur Zen, because of this, Hishchisu Darkam, they have become corrupt, Visivu Ma'alalehem Alilo Kamo Uva Alilo Yuseyem Asicha Ein Yosei Toiva. Okay, these few words over here of the Ibn Ezra are really powerful words. Is he's saying he's putting the ends of the spectrum on Naval and a Chacham. A Chacham is a wise man, and the Chachma, like he said, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The Naval is someone that does not want to come to Yiras Hashem. Does not want to Ein Elokim. Is that what it says over here? Omar Naval Beliboy Ein Elokim Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem. It's in this Yiras Hashem and this Elokim. Elokim is like, you know, when you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are also spectrums. Elokim is the bottom of the spectrum. Hashem is a much more sophisticated level of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at Hashem. And put Hashem, look at Hashem on a spectrum, make believe, you can put Hashem on a spectrum. The most elementary understanding of Hashem is Elohim. An exalted appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only for the sophisticated people, is Yud Kei Vav. Let me close the question again. You come to the class. Hashem, if you put Hashem on the spectrum, so Elohim is the very elementary understanding of Hashem. Breshis Boro Elohim. Es Hashem ve'es Haaretz. Go down many generations to Avram, to Moshe. What does it say about Moshe? I appeared Vo'ero El Avraham El Yitzchak El Yaakov El Shakai. Ushmi Hashem Lo'inodati Elohim. Moshe was the greatest of them all. Today is Yahrzeit. Today is Zayin Adar. Moshe, to him, it was revealed Yudkei Vavkei. What does it mean? It says the word Yudkei Vavkei. It says Yudkei Vavkei by the other souls, by Avraham and Yaakov. But obviously it means on an entirely different plane, an entirely different caliber. Whole different caliber of Yudkei Vavkei. Moshe had that revelation of Yudkei Vavkei. That's an exalted level. The Novel is not, didn't even go to kindergarten. The Novel, Omar Novel Belibai, Ein Elokim. I don't even want to take the first step to appreciate Hashem on the most elementary level of understanding of Bereishis Bara Elokim. The Chacham, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, Chachma, wisdom, takes you to the other extreme. Not only do you know about Elokim, you grow, you develop, you mature, you blossom until you come to a sophistication of Hashem. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem Yud Ke Vav Ke. So here, when the Ibn Ezra says that there are two opposites, there is the Novel and there is the Chacham, what does it say about the Novel? The Novel is Omar Novel Belibai Ein Elokim. What does it say about a Chacham? Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. They're mamish the opposites. They're extreme opposites. Not just that they don't know. They don't even know the Chacham has achieved Yudke Vavke. The Novel doesn't even know the most basic awareness that there is a God to begin with. Bereishis Bara Elokim. These two words are absent. Now, if that's so, when you go to the Haggadah, and in the Haggadah, we have a Chacham, and then we have a Rasha. A Rasha is not a Novel. A Rasha is something different. What exactly is a Rasha? A Rasha knows about it. A Rasha, seemingly, he knows about Hashem. Yodea, they know their master, and they have intent to rebel against the master. A Novel doesn't even know from Elohim. It sounds almost like the Novel is such a tippish, because he doesn't even know the basic building blocks of this world. Whereas a Rasha is sophisticated. A Rasha is a Chacham. A Rasha, he knows about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just that he has chosen to reject Hashem. Okay, let's go look over here at the Radak. Jump around a couple of things that I marked off. In the Radak, Adak Yogoin Bilavavi. No. That was the previous. The Radak. Okay, the Radak Pasuk Aleph. Okay, just over here. The Radak Pasuk on page 109. And the Radak Lametzeh LeDavid Amar No Belibay Zeh HaMizmor Gamkin Hu Al Lashoin Hagolos VeNovel Hu Melech HaUmois She Yisrael BiYadam. When he oppresses them, ki ein elokim, vein shayfet v'dagin ba'olam l'shalom l'ishkim aseiv. The Radak says the word Novel is a catch-all phrase for all of the kings of the world from the entire spectrum of history who have oppressed the Jewish people. Isn't it amazing? This mizmor, because remember, this mizmor, the last two mizmorim that we learned were about the Dalid Malchias. The last two mizmorim we were learning about Golos and mentioning different elements of Golos. So the Radak learns that this mizmor is a continuation of the theme of Golos. And the Novel over here refers to the sitting king of the world that is oppressing the Jewish people. And the root, it's a very fascinating thing, the root of the oppression that the Jewish people suffer through their host master is all rooted in the same problem. They do not believe in God. Omar Novel Beliboy Ein Elokim. It's very, very fascinating. You look at all the presidents of the United States. Okay, the United States is only 200 and something years, just a paragraph in history. But you know, there's been more than one person who wrote a book about the presidents and the Jews. There was a very good book which came out not so long ago. And if you really want to learn, very fascinating, really, it's more really more about American history than it is about the Jews, is Rabbi Stephen Przanski. He gave a lecture series, one of his, it's on whyyoutorah.org. Fascinating. He has fascinating stuff. He gave a series of lectures on the presidents and the Jews.
I think I have that book. Yeah.
That's a book, right? So that's
a small little book.
No, there's another book which came out, not so small, there's another book which came out about 5 years ago. Someone else put out, maybe not, I don't remember. Then there's a Lincoln and the Jews.
Yeah, Lincoln and the Jews, I have that one.
lingering in the Jews. And then Stephen Przanski, he has a series of lectures, probably about 25, maybe even more, of the presidents and the Jews. He starts with George Washington, and he goes all the way. I think the last lecture was about Obama, maybe even Trump. I don't remember when he ended. And fascinating. The first, like I would say, the first 10 lectures are really, there's almost nothing. He's just varfing his incredible knowledge of American history. He's a genius. He knows American history better than probably most PhDs in American history. And the first couple of lectures, George Washington had almost nothing to do with the Jews. It's not even so clear if he ever met a Jew. Yeah, he goes through, he talks a whole lot about George Washington. He goes through all the presidents, and the first collection of presidents.
There were very few Jews.
Right, there are very few. What did they ever contact? Did they have about a Jew? Did they know about a Jew? He goes through. But he talks about the presidents. There's really not much. When he gets later into the more recent times, then he has what to say. He has what to say, and then they knew exactly what a Jew was. And it's very, very fascinating. When you're dealing with a person that has such enormous power, don't underestimate the power of a world leader. Okay, you see how much power they have today. And every head of state, whether it's the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Canada, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, the power, it's unreal how much power these people have. Incredible, incredible, incredible amounts of power. And you do a study, what's going on in their mind? How do they relate to Hashem? Do they acknowledge there is a God? And then what do they know about Jews? And it's, no one knows what goes on in a person's mind. No one really understands this. And here the Radak is telling us something very, very profound. And just read these words again. We are in Golos. We have been in Golos for 1,953 years since the Korban Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni itself was a Golos. Okay, the Bayis Sheni, we had less freedom. Think about this. You can argue that we had less freedom during the time of the Bayis Sheni than we have today in America to practice our religion. Is that a false statement? You had a Beis HaMikdash, and they would bring Makif Korbanos, and you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and you had less freedom then in living your life as a Torah observant Jew than today in the secular year 2022. Would you believe that? That's probably true. It's probably true. You have more freedom to practice your religion today than you had even during the time of the Bayis Sheni. I don't know the entire 420 years, but probably a good chunk of that time was probably true. It's an incredible thing, how fortunate we are. And now, but we are now in Golis for all of this period of time. And what does he say? And we're in Golis, we are subject to the goodwill of our host country. And the host country has a leader. And it is critical that leader, whether you like it or not, can fool yourself, has enormous, enormous power. The Romans were horrific, what they did to the Jewish people. And here, the Malbim over here is saying something that is extremely profound. L'matzech l'David, Amar no Belibo, it's on page 109, Pasuk Aleph, Zeh HaMizmar, Gam Kein Hu Al L'shoin HaGolos. Now, I don't know what the word L'shoin means, but it means Golos. The novel, who is the novel that we are discussing? We're discussing now at least the 1,953 years. The novel is the Melech, the current king, who is our host. The Melech, who umois, she Yisrael biyadam. We have been under the authority of numerous kings the last 1,953 years. And the choyshev b'livoy, and the common denominator of every one of these kings that we are subject to their authority in different degrees is, they're all called a novel. Don't get so friendly. Al tisvadeh l'rishus. You see it. During these last 2 years, all of the lobbying and all of the friendship that many, or that we all thought we had such a good relationship with all these politicians. Nothing. It all turned into zero. There's a higher authority, and you can't mess with all the relationship people. They are people that we work with. De Blasio for decades had a relationship with De Blasio for decades, and all of a sudden the whole thing turned sour overnight. With Cuomo, people nurtured a relationship with these people, very careful to work with him, to deal with him, and then overnight, everything just turns sour. And what is the common denominator? The Radak is telling us, when they bring harm upon the Jewish people, when they oppress them, ki ein Elokim. That's the root. The novel is a catch-all term for all of the kings that we are subject to their authority. And the root of when we find that they turn on us and they express their displeasure with us, it's because it's rooted in apikorsis. Ein Elokim bein shofet v'dayan ba'olam l'shalem l'ish kima'aseyu. There's no accountability. They can do whatever they want, and there's no accountability for the harm that they cause other people. So we have over here so many Pidushim. Again, is it Sancheiriv? Is it a private king we never heard of? Is it the husband of Avigail? Is it Nebuchadnezzar? Is it Titus? And now we're saying the word novel here, it's a catch-all term to refer to all of the kings, all of the authorities that we were subject to their goodwill in our history. Okay, let's now go to a Sipurno. The Sipurno here says, says in the bottom of the Sipurno, Amar Novel Levi, something very similar. Amar Novel B'chol Dor V'Dor Mi Yisrael Asher B'Golus Halaz Shu Kofui Toiva U'Bilti Mevin Eich Chalkel Yisbrach B'Derech Pela Mekayim Es Bonav Bein Humas. Another extremely powerful statement. This Nizma. Who is the novel? It's exactly the same. He's saying basically the same. He's saying the same exact thing as the Radak. He's saying exactly the same thing, but he's just saying it in different words. His words are very powerful. Now, one more time, Bechol Dor Vodar, in every generation, Mi Yisrael, Asher Begolus Halos, Shehu Kifui Toiva, in this Golus, the king, the novel is a Kifui Toiva, doesn't appreciate the Chesed. Ubilti Maven, he doesn't understand. In a wondrous way preserves us. Mikhaim es bonov bein humas. So he's not saying he refers to a world leader. Not what he says. He's saying they are just individuals. They are foolish, stupid people out there who study history and fail to acknowledge the miracle of Jewish survival. Okay, according to him, this is a composition of Shevach to Hashem, acknowledging the miracle of Jewish survival, and how there are people out there that are just so foolish to think, ain't Elokim, it's just a coincidence that we're still around. Powerful stuff from the Malam, the whole Dor V'Dor. Okay, so good for the Haggadah. Okay, you take this and you put this into the whole Dor V'Dor. Okay, now let's go to another Malbim. We'll turn the page. On the next page, we have the Ber Hamilos. Just want to review this. We discussed this. We had this discussion. What does it mean over here? The word we had the word Hisivu Alila. So we discussed this. Does the word Hisivu mean a To'eva? What does the word Hisivu mean? The word Hisivu means, according to Rashi, it becomes the word a To'eva, an abomination. Or the other way around, I forgot what the Mitsudo said, it means an abomination. And Rashi says, no, the word Hisivu means a ta'ava, a desire. And then the word Alila means Alila Saddam. We had it with the blood libels. Accusation. So we had a machloikish with Rashi and the Mitsudo. Is the word Alila a power of word? It just means an action. And the word Hisivu means an abomination. Or the other way around. The word alila is a negative word, which means an accusation, it means a crime. Mm-hmm. And the word hisivu means a desire to commit abominations. Now the Malbim in the Ber HaMilos, okay, on page 110, on the left side, hishrisu, hisivu, alila, hapu'ulois, the deeds, sheshorsham, mituchunois, umidois hanefesh, nikroim alilois. Very interesting interpretation. He learns that a person's behavior that is rooted in his neshama. Okay, this you have to go to a psychologist. A psychologist to give a psychoanalysis of the person. There are different types of behaviors. There are acquired behaviors versus natural. Nurture versus nature. Okay, people behave in a certain way. Why do they behave in a certain way? Is it because it's nature? It's their natural disposition? Or is it he has trained himself, nurture, he has worked on his self to behave in such a way? And you can do this for good and for bad. Okay, you're talking about, you know, people who are Isaac in the to'evos, in the abomination. People who are, the Torah says that a person that engages in mishkav zohar, this is a to'eva, an abomination. One of the harshest words. So there's a lot of discussion, modern day science about people who are in this situation, and it's acknowledged there are two types of people that engage in this behavior. There are people that in the category of nurture, this is the scientific terminology, nurture versus nature. There are people that Rachmana Litzlan are born with some chemicals that are missing. And there's some abnormality. There's some abnormality in their DNA. And they have a disposition towards certain behavior, and these people you can sniff them out a mile away, unfortunately, because it's a certain type of it's an illness. So does it say about these people that they're going to go straight to Gehenna because there's a to'eva? On the other hand, there are people out there, healthy people, that are such bali taiva. They engage in so much activity of taiva, it leads to this behavior as well. That's called nurture. So it's clear as day, according to many people, you read some of this, I don't really read this, but when you a little bit here, is that when the Torah talks about to'eva, it's talking about nurture. It's not talking about people, Rachmana Litzlan, who are ill, who are sick and have a very difficult life because of nature. So over here he writes over something very interesting. Kapu ulois sheshrosham mituchunois umidois hanefesh. Nature. There are certain tendencies a person has. That's how Hashem made him. These are his tendencies. This is his natural disposition. It's part of his tuchunos hanefesh. This is called alilois. It's a very interesting trick. You're not getting this in Rashi and the Mitzvahs. Rashi and the Mitzvahs are not describing, translating the word in this fashion. Kavosh Rashi bekavu kaimis the alilois sheyifalu levaleya ulahashchis levrei adam beretzach v'chamas heim alilois nishchasais v'alilois letaavois migunois arayois v'teavois. These goyim, he's telling us over here, is it's their natural tendency to behave in a horrific way. It's not that, it's natural to them. When describing over here the wicked people, we're not describing over here wicked people who it goes against their nature to murder and to engage in abominations. This, they're so evil. It's just natural to them. That's why the mizvah goes on. When they devour Klal Yisrael, it's like eating bread. Right, the main thing I want to bring out over here is by just pointing out this Malbim over here. It's not so much the Drush, but to bring out the translation of the word, how it uniquely translates the word alil, because we have so many different words in Tanakh describing a person's behavior. There are some different words. Many times the behavior, it's against the person's nature. He has to go against the grain to behave in a certain way. It's not his way. Everyone knows the famous word Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he was caught by Tzidkiyahu eating Eiver Min HaChai. Why was he eating Eiver Min HaChai? because he wanted, it was against, as the Chazal say, it was against his natural tendency to murder. But he hated the Jews so much, he had a struggle. I hate the Jews, but it's against my natural tendency to murder them. So I have to practice. I have to practice being a murderer. And the way he's going to practice the bad midos was to eat Eivim and Achai, to practice cruelty. And this is what he did the whole day. He practiced being cruel until it became part of his tuchunas hanefesh, that it should be natural for him to murder people. And Tzidkiyahu caught him in the act. He caught him in college. He saw him there taking a course how to naturally become a murderer. And he made him make a shavua not to tell anyone. So the word alila, according to him, it's a very interesting perish of the Malbim, the word alila is, he translates it to mean a behavior that is natural to a person. Okay, let's.
Does he have to keep?
Well, that was the whole thing. He was criticized. He didn't keep the shvuah. He revealed it. So that became a very big problem. Okay, let's go look over here to another. Let's go look at a few more little things. Before we run out of time, I want to look at Chumash Anoch. A Chumash Anoch on page 111. It's a short Chumash Anoch. Where does it start from? It starts from. Let us start from the top of the page. V'shom Hakadosh Baruch Hu sheyazkirei b'nei zeh. And I'll go back. Let's go back a little bit to page. This is relative for today. Today is the Yartzeit of Moshe, page 109. Let's go back to page 109. Let's look in the Chaimas Anach, page 109. The Chaimas Anach, page 109. Yogel libi b'Yeshua secha. The David Hamelech. Can we discuss this in passing very quickly? So I'm going to read inside. David HaMelech was the cause of the bittul of the Gezeras Haman. We discussed this in the Krevetz on Purim, we do not have any Krevetz to the bracha of Es Tzemach David. David is not really Shaykh in the Yom Tov of Purim. The Yom Tov Purim was carried out by Mordechai and Esther, who were descendants of Shaul, not David. Binyamin. David is from Yehuda, and the Shaul is from Binyamin. So, what does it say over here? Over here, this is a very interesting Chumash Anoch. The David HaMelech Olav HaShalom HaYasiba, he was the cause, Gamken Levatel Gzeres Haman, Im Yishum Dial Yidei, She Raisav Tikein, Tegam HaYorech, whatever that means, Kabbalah stuff, typical of the Chaimis Nechto Kabbalah, or Vashom Yakadosh Baruch Hu Sheyas Kireh B'nei Zeh. David was mispalel to Hashem that he should get honorable mention. Vagam Charvoyna, Zohar Latoif, he should get honorable mention. In the story of Purim, the imishum the bizchus, what's where? Why should it get mentioned? The imishum the bizchus aseres alofim kikar. David gave from his own wealth, his own assets, 10,000 talents of silver. He gave shenosan David haMelech olav hashalom laavodas beis Hashem, to build the beis hamikdash, a donation, bank check. Not gonna bounce. Batlu aseres alofim kikrei kesef shol haman. K'may shakol hak damois elu hedeis yani ba'ani ikaron u'shrashon bidrushim u'lechein amar yogeli b'shuhasecha al galus modai u'lefi pashtoi. I made a mistake about that. I'm going back to the previous mizmar. I have it marked up over here because this is carrying off from the previous Mizmah. We actually did this. We didn't read it inside, but I told them to you. I made a mistake. This is the previous. The previous Mizmah was the Yagalim Shusach Shoshim Ki Gomalai, Begolus Modai, Begolus Paras. What does David HaMelech have to do with Golus Modim, Golus Paras? I'm sorry, this goes back. We learned last week, the previous Mizmah, because there we learned about the Dal Malchios, and David over here is celebrating at the end of the Mizmah all four of the Malchios. What does David have to do with Paras and Madai? Because David wanted to be mentioned in Paras and Madai, and the way he achieved that goal was by giving 10,000 talents of silver in order to prevent to counteract the 10,000 talents of silver that were given by Haman. Now we know the famous Medrash that Klali Yisrael already gave 10,000 talents of silver for the Machtes HaShekel in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore that counteracted the 10,000 talents of silver of Haman. But here you have another 10,000 talents of silver given by one person. David against Haman. There is a relationship between the two. When the famous Medrash, it was the whole Klal Yisrael that contributed. In this Medrash, it's one person. It's one person. Notice that you don't find anywhere that the whole world gave together 10,000 talents of silver to destroy the Jewish people. It was only one person. Who counteracted that one person? So we say Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's very nice, but Haman was, it's not a perfect match. Klal Yisrael is counteracting one person. So is that a perfect, we need one person to knock out one person. Zeh lumazeh. There's a maila and a chesara. When you have, Haman was one man. It was a one man show. Look how powerful one man can be. It's not real, look how powerful. Look at Hitler, yimach shmei v'zichro. Look at all the dictators. Go through, look at Alexander the Great. Okay, I don't know history, but you go through history, one person, the power of a single individual is not to be believed. Look at today, Putin, that's right. Look at Putin, look, you got it. Look how long he's been in office, okay? Look how long he's been in control for forever. Yeah. Mamash forever, from day one. He goes nowhere. And even look at even in this country, okay, Obama's still there. Obama's calling the shots. Okay, I told you, she said herself. Okay, Psaki, the spokeswoman for the President of the United States, was interviewed on television, and she said about her job, and she said this 3 weeks ago on television in front of the whole world, it is an honor and a pleasure to work with President Obama. I mean. Biden. Oh, what did you say? What did you just say? President Obama? Obama? What do you have to do with Obama? Obama is long gone. Long gone. That was a Freudian slip of what's really going on behind the scenes. Okay?
That's
what
he lives in Washington.
Yes, what he lives in Washington. That's what he once said. It always is that I wish I could have a third term behind the scenes. A third term. You don't realize the power of one person, what one person can do to a country, of 320 million people. That's a lot of people. A lot of people make policies that affect one person. It's unbelievable how much power individuals have. Haman was one person, and he went to carry out a plan, genocide. So we need one person, Zeh l'umazeh, to stand up against him. Who is the only time we have in Tanakh, Chazal, one person who corresponded Zeh l'umazeh? You put your money where your mouth is. David. Haman gave 10,000 talents of silver. David gave 10,000 talents of silver. Haman's Iker, what was Haman's Iker goal? At Chatzi HaMalchus Yinosimach, with Achashersh. Haman's 10 children were the ones who issued the stop order regarding the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what he does not want to happen. What did David do? I'll pay for the whole Beis HaMikdash. 10,000 talents of silver. He gave 10,000 talents of silver to destroy Klal Yisrael. David is the one who was that. Oh, but you'll say we already have 10,000 talents of silver from Gans Klal Yisrael who gave the Machzis HaShekel. That's right, it's also very, very good, but there's a chesaron in that because every person only gave a mashu. They just gave a Machzis HaShekel. What?
But Haman gave the money Lashmid et kol Yehudim.
And David gave the build, to build the Beis HaMikdash. But it's totally Zebizeh. What? Right, but it's totally Zebizeh when there's a Beis HaMikdash, it gives the Jew a chiyus, it gives kin to Klal Yisrael. When the Shekhinah is resting in the Beis HaMikdash, a Jew is not a Jew. This gives chiyus to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so this Chaimus Anach is really awesome. It's an incredible. You know, I made him say, I'm repeating over again, but this is really, it's an incredible. It really takes us back to give a whole new perspective to Purim. All right, let's go. We're running out of time. Let's go look at Pasuk and look over here the Malb at the Chaimas Anoch on the bottom on page the Chidah. Mekubal. A lot of his stuff is Alpi Kabbalah. Okay, you have to be very careful which Chaimas Anoch we learn. Page 111 on the same page. Look at the Chaimas Anoch and Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. Hakol sar yachdav ne'elachu. What everyone has gone astray together. Ne'elachu, they have behaved in a shameful way, or they have brought about a churban. Efsha diakavanim dehayu miskabsim levatul Torah v'chayotze. What exactly does it mean ne'elachu? They have acted. This is a very hard word to translate. They have acted in a corrupted way. Efsha. He learns the akavana dehoyu miskabsim levatal Torah v'chayotze to cancel the Torah. V'yigdal avoinam kishoisim inyanam ba chevra the einsham kafu laavor amemra drachmana berabim v'zeh sheomar yachdav ne'elachu b'yoisim rabim ein oisetav klamar ein mi sheyasetav ve'ein gam echad yachzik b'talmud chacham lehanoisai v'adraba. Now we learned until now, according to everything that we learned, Rashi the Mitzudais, that there's no, even the, we learned even the Malbim, that amongst either the armies, the army of Nebuchadnezzar, the army of the enemy, there is no one willing to stand up to Nebuchadnezzar and tell him it's not a good idea to destroy the base Hamikdash. We pay attention to the news that they're talking about Putin. He's on the verge of invading Ukraine. He has amassed over 100,000 soldiers on three sides of Ukraine. He's waiting to invade. And you hear in the news, different heads of state are advising him to stand down. It's not in your best interest to proceed. And you hear different names are being thrown out. This head of state, this one, that one. I'm communicating with him, they're speaking to him. They're telling him it's not a good idea. Don't do this. You're not going to end up ahead by doing this. So we learned until now that by Nebuchadnezzar, no one did that. Nebuchadnezzar, there was not one good man that would stand up to Nebuchadnezzar and say to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, it's not in your best interest to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. Don't go down this path. No, there wasn't one single person that was willing to stand up from his generals, from his associates, from the members of NATO, from his coalition, okay, some from the United Nations. No one stood up to him. That's how we've been learning until now. Basically, all the Mepharshim said things like that. All we learned, the Malbim said, it means that when they engaged in war, they violated the Geneva Conventions. They did not even do a nimus toiv v'chesed. When they captured a prisoner of war, you gotta feed him. You have a prisoner of war, you have to feed him. You don't just throw him to the dogs. Okay, there are rules. Okay, so that's, now we have the Chaimas Anach, the Chidah, he has another Mahalach. No, that's not what it means. We're describing the Jews. We're describing the generation of the Jews that are aimed, that do not call out in Hashem. And the problem is that the Jewish people have no appreciation for Talmidei Chachamim. Toiv, ki lekach toiv nasati lechem. Obviously, he's taking the word toiv. Today's Moshe's Yahrzeit. We're going to talk about Moshe soon. Moshe's Yahrzeit. Vayar oisai ki toiv hu. Moshe, the Gadol Hadar. What was he called? Tuvia. Toiv. Why was he Toiv? Toiv is Toiv. Ki lekach Toiv nasati lechem. Toiv is the code for Torah. There's no one in the generation that has any appreciation for Talmidei Chachamim. No one's willing to seek out the good and welfare of Talmidei Chachamim. You know, in America, Baruch Hashem, we've come a long way. Some of the Talmidei Chachamim do pretty good today. Not all, but it became a business today. Some ways it's it became a little bit, but you read about what went on in America back in the day, and especially in Europe, Talmidei Chachamim were not held in high regard, and they suffered very, very much. They suffered bezyonos from poverty. They're not appreciated. And here is very powerful Chumas Hanach. He's running over here. He is Hashem Yishamayim Hishkif al Bnei Adam. This is how Yilam Shah on the Pasuk. Hashem from heaven, he looks down on mankind. Who's the Bnei Adam? On Amcha, on the Jewish people, to see Lirois Hayesh Maskil. Are there any wise Jews? What would make them wise? Doresh Es Elokim, which what he's really learning over here is to have an appreciation for Hashem. And how would that translate? It would translate into having respect for Talmidei Chachamim, or at least Jewish education, to nurture, to create Talmidei Chachamim in this generation, to create Jewish education, that there should be Talmidei Chachamim, and they should be appreciated. Hakol, so everyone turns away, Yachtov, together. There's almost like a united effort that there should be no Talmidei Chachamim. Nil Ochu, they act in a disgusting way. This is a very harsh term, and according to the Chumash Hanach, it's been used exclusively to describe a coordinated effort to squash and suppress the ribui of Talmidei Chachamim in Klal Yisrael. Ein Oisei Toiv. They do not seek the good and welfare of Talmidei Chachamim. Gam Ein Echad. Not, there's not even one good man. Look at the words we're talking about again. This is short.
He started, but the two psukim, Klal and then Prat. There is no Klal, there is no Prat. All of them.
All of mankind.
And then he wrote Hayesh Maskil, one. And the second pasuk, Hakol Sam Yachdav Le'elachu.
Not even one. We go down deeper and deeper, even we go from the cloud, right? The first at Sibur, then
Yechid.
Not even one person. Read those words one more time. Efsha, one more time. The very powerful comes to the Pasuk Gimel. Efsha. There was a coordinated effort. Levatel Torah. To cancel the Torah. The Chayotze. The Yigdal Avainan. That is an incredible Aveira. Kisha Oisim in Yonam Bachevra. Where they cancel Torah as a group, tzibur, the ein sham, their punishment kafel lavar a member of the rachman barabim, to go and to transgress Hashem's words barabim, v'zeh amar yachdav nelachu b'yoyis rabim, they're many together, einoy say toiv. How do you touch with nelachu? Is there over here? He doesn't look to find nelach fine. Kloimar. Not even one person should be yachzik b'talmud chacham lehanoisai, to support a talmud chacham, to be his friend, to give him strength. It's scary stuff. Okay, it's very, very scary stuff. Rakefet always says over the story. He doesn't say over the story. He leaves out one important part of the story. But the Rav Baruch, you know the name of the person was the Radvaz. The Radvaz, he came to America, came to Chicago.
Yeah.
What was his name? What was the Radvaz?
Brulovsky?
Wilovsky. Wilovsky. It was a very chasha Talmud Chacham who came. It was I think the Rebbe Aaron Kotler. Yeah, he had a connection with him.
I think he was the Slutsky
Rebbe. So he had Shaychis. To have Aaron Kotler. This is the story. Kevin doesn't say over the whole story. He says that this is the whole story is we love this very Adam Gadol. He came to America, he had no Parnassa. He was destitute. So he came to America and he was a goyin shebegoyinim.
He came to America to raise money to print the Yerushalmi.
Perishing Yerushalmi, that's why he came to America. So he came here, so he got a job. He got a job in Hashkocha, to be a mashkiach, to oversee what's doing in the kashrus industry, and he went to Chicago, and in Chicago he saw everything was strafe. He saw the whole thing was mafia business, and while he was there, he made some trouble for them. He made some trouble to expose the fraud, that everything was strafe, and in the slaughterhouse and in the factories wherever they were working with the meat and the animals, they were very angry because he was giving them a hard time and he was ruining their parnasa. So one Friday afternoon, he was there in the factory, and he was doing an inspection, and it was in one of these walk-in refrigerators. They have refrigerators the size of this room. And he was walked in, and just somehow after he walked into the refrigerator, someone locked the door behind him. And it was closing time, and everyone left. And he was banging on the door, and no one came to open the door. And it was a freezer, and he basically would have died. He basically would have died had he been there for a period of time, over Shabbos, and it was an extremely desperate situation. And by some hashgacha pratis, a person who wasn't supposed to be there was there, he was banging, he heard him. It was a miracle, mamash, an open miracle that...
He said that the God... He used to say good morning to the guy.
That's why.
Good evening when he left.
He didn't say goodbye to him. So he went to go look for him.
He said he's for sure still here because he never missed the day saying goodbye to me when he left.
Wow.
Yes, that was right.
That was the story. So he came looking for him, and it was a miracle that he found him, opened it up. He then was shaken to the core. Mm. He was shaken to the core, realized that they're going to kill him. They really want to kill him. They really want to take his life. So if I'm not mistaken, I don't know the exact details. He was Mechal Shabbos. This is when the Goyim of the generation.
He was such a big Goyim that when the Melech Gris Rabbanim that year, he was appointed Zekan HaRabbanim
of the whole organization. They are Gudas HaRabbanim. That's how much respect they had. That's how much respect they had for him. Okay, the Gadol Hador. And he was the Paskin for himself. That it's pikuach nefesh for himself and his family. They want to murder him. Mm-hmm. They want to murder him. So on Shabbos itself, it was Friday afternoon when this happened, on Shabbos itself, I don't know all the details, he did what he needed to do, whatever it means. Whatever it means, he did what he needed to do, which he ordinarily would not have done, in order to escape with his life. As he fled, and he got out of America, he made the following statement. He said, even though these people here in America are so wicked. They're such a bunch of rishayim. They would mamish murder me for a piece of meat to make a few dollars. If there would be 10 people, a koila basically, of 10 people that would sit down in a room and learn Torah Lishma, even 10 people, it would transform this whole desert wasteland into a makom Torah. Even as he was fleeing with his life, and he cursed this country for what they did to him, he said, there's a tikkun for this country. 10 people would sit and learn Torah Lishma, this whole country would turn into a makom Torah. Now, this is the legend. The legend is, Rav Aaron Kotler heard that he said this. I don't know if he heard firsthand, from his peh, or he heard it trickle down, ish mi pi ish, Rav Aaron Kotler heard him say this. And that the legend is, I can't tell you chapter and verse, that was one of the triggers for Rav Aaron Kotler to start his kollel in Lakewood. So isn't that an amazing story? This pasuk over here, mamish, Hakol sor yachtov, nelochu, ein oisei toi, they want to murder me. Ein gam echot. Zero. Yet, things changed. Yet he still acknowledged the koyach of a nucleus of people who learn Torah Lishma, the power that it had. It radiates. It's incredible. We don't really underestimate the koyach of a coil that sits and learns. You know, it's very, very true. I'll just give you a new example. You know, like, I'm unfortunately late. I don't really have a very good positive attitude about a lot of things, but I'll give you a mashal. I went a couple of times, Rabbi Olster. You know, Rabbi Olster has a shul in Bedford.
L and M, right? L and K and L.
So there every once in a while I would go there at night. They have simchas in the basement. Mm-hmm. They have a little teeny, it's not small, it's not the size of this room. Yeah. So I went there like every once in a while I was invited like to a Sheva Brachas or to some
Doesn't
event.
Doesn't he have a yeshiva in
I don't know, but over here in Flatbush, I remember going back like a few years. So once in a while, I'll go there. So I'll go there. It's a little place. So I'll go there for a small event. So I'll go there. I remember go there at night. I'll go there 9 o'clock at night. It's very dark. Bedford, you know, it's dark there. It's quiet. Go there. Go down. Find the shul. I'm not familiar with the shul. Find how to get in. Go here. Go there. Go to the basement. Okay, new. I have these memories of going there. Already a couple, a few years back. So recently someone, a very wealthy person in this neighborhood, decided that Flatbush is going down the drain. And he sponsored a koilo. They opened a koilo there. A koilo there. So I go there to an event. And I go there at night. I open up the door. Wow. And there's a koilo. It's 9 o'clock at night. Open up the door. The lights are on. It's Lebedek. There are people there learning, mamish, b'hasmada, 9 o'clock at night. And it's like a whole different world. I go down to the basement, I go take care of my business down there, and like, you know, wow, it's like a different world. It radiates. Yeah. There's a kedusha that radiates, you know, even someone like me, who's very, you know, dark. You can't, there's a lichtigkeit. I also, this past Shabbos, Shabbos afternoon, you know, they have the kollel of Flatbush on Avenue K and Bedford.
Yeah.
So I was passing by.
That's his old shul.
Old shul, yeah? Uh-huh. Okay, so that they converted into that's a kollel, it's really much longer.
Yeah.
I go in there, open up the door, wow. People sitting, serious learning. It's like, really, these guys are serious. This is not make believe over here. This is the real deal. There's no, not like what I'm used to. Serious stuff. There's something to it. There's something to it. Okay? If this rabbi, this the Radvaz, he says there can be murderers here in this country. 10 people sitting and learning, the Hasmada, can change the whole country. The whole country. The Kachava. Look, we're beneficiaries. The fact that we have a coil over here, everything is a trickle-down effect of the coil. It's an unbelievable thing. All right, we're out of time over here. We're going to have to do more. There's some more things I marked down, which are very important. I thought for sure we would finish. But there's something other thing that's extremely important I want to do, a malbum on the next page. And then Yirtzah Hashem, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll take a short break, and then we're going to speak about the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu. Today is Zayin Adar. Do you do it Adar Aleph, Adar Beis? You always say Tachlis, no matter what. Okay, we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about Moshe Rabbeinu.
Is Rabbi Nolman?
Yeah.
He's
Enikel. He's Enikel, is the Adar Advance.
Yeshiva's named after that Yeshiva. Sometimes named after Shver Convitz. Convitz was an aide by the Vaz. And his son-in-law is Rabbi Nolman.
Who's who? Is
Rabbi Nolman.
Nolman. My parents, I think.
The East Side Torah Center was called on the Henry Street.
I think I know what it is.
And the other part of his grandson was.